Angela.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. Marker.
Good evening. Let's wait a minute, then we'll start.
Hello.
Do you hear me?
Good evening.
Good evening. Begin with a Lashem Yehud. In our study to hello?
Hana. Hello.
Hello. We're beginning with a Lashem Yehud. Our study tonight begins with section 10 of Parasha Vayera. We're starting with Pasuk 151. Limud Torah mitzvah. Lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kananeihu. Rabbi Yehuda Pata Noda Basharim Baala Peshivto Im Ziknei Aretz Tachatei Kuchabarihu Istalak Vitareya, Behu Ganiz, Besatim Behiluya, Dagya Lav, Ite Bialma, Willahawa, Min Yoma, Behitabere, Alma Diakil, Lakaima, Al Chachmata, Bileya Bila Yakil Lakaima Beya. The translation. Rabbi Yehuda said, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Come and see. The Holy One, blessed be he, was exalted in his glory because he is hidden and greatly elevated. Since the creation of the world, nobody has ever been able to grasp and conceive his entire wisdom. Thus, no one is able to comprehend it.
Excuse me.
My commentary. This pasuk is giving a hint to a spiritual law. Even wisdom has a structure, which is a hierarchy. In order to comprehend something, one must first conceive and grasp the structure of a thing. Questions, comments, thoughts? No one wishes to speak. maybe I'm disconnected.
Well, to me, the gates took on a whole different meaning at like the Omer with the Idris Uta. I don't know quite what to say.
Well, nothing happens without a question. So your question is you don't know what to say. That's not a question. That's a statement. So rephrase it. What's the title of this section?
Her husband is known in the gates.
So what do you think the gates are referring to?
Probably to the spiritual world, Keter, where Hashem is hidden.
So what's the second part of the verse?
When he sits among the elders of the land.
So when it says land, it's telling you we're talking about Malchut, correct? And who are the elders in Malchut?
David. King David.
King David is the channel, but was he an elder? The elders would be referring to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Well, they were further up the Sefi Road, so that's why I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
I was tempted to say, you know, the sages, the Zadik in our generation. I know you say that we don't really have, but we do have some very special people in our generation.
We have concealed in our generation, but we don't have revealed people.
Right.
But then the pasuk goes on to explain that Hashem is concealed and greatly elevated.
Well, that was my thought.
But Hashem being elevated is there on him.
Right. What about Atika Kedusha and Atika Yomim and the idea that Moses took that olive from the Torah portion of Azinu and that was the key to the gates? I mean, all those things are rolling in my head, but I don't know how to relate them here.
Because you have to start with what is the overall frame of reference. Is there a Tikkun of Malchut? You've never heard that being expressed.
I'm sorry, you broke up, so I'm not sure what you said before that last thing you said.
Is there an Etika Kadisha in Malchut? You've never read the Zohar that indicates that there is a Atika Kadisha in the frame of Malchut. And the opening language is describing the concept of Malchut, because when he sits among the elders of the land.
Okay, so that would be more in line with... Oh.
You do not have Keter, Achma, or Bina. Malchut only has the seven lower Sefirot. That's why it's Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet are the elders of the land. But then it goes on at the end of the verse, it's really saying, since we cannot grasp or conceive his entire wisdom, meaning we don't know his name, we can't put a limitation on the wisdom, we're not able to comprehend it completely. Is that a little clearer or still confusing?
No, I have too many pictures flowing through my head. I could see Deborah at the gates under the palm tree. Mm-hmm. I think of Mordecai being at the gates, you know, in the Book of Esther. And to me, the verse was, you know, it does say land, but I thought it was really referring to the world of Atzilut and how we can never really know Hashem. We can only come to know him by his attributes of, you know, of the names. And that's kind of what I kind of thought this was about.
Maybe it is. One never knows. There's 70 different ways to understand it.
Because even Deborah's husband, you know, they said he wasn't very educated, but she worked with him, and then he ended up being in the courts of the elders, and learning in the temple and what, making lapidot for
he was called upon to go to war, he wouldn't go without her. And she said to him, you're going to be lessened because you're bringing me along. I'm paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the first verse of the chapter, so maybe we'll know as we keep going a little bit more.
Okay.
Is there someone else on?
Yeah, there's two other people on. Verse 152. Begin the Yudani Zvasatim, the Istala Leila. Le'ela v'kolho, ila'e b'tata'e, la'yachlin li'itabeka, ad'kolho, amrin, baruch kivod, Hashem mimkomo, tata'e amre bihu, le'ela diktiv, Al Hashamayim Kivodo Ila E Amre Dehu Latata Diktiv Al Kol Haaretz Kivodecha Adekalho Ila E Utata E Amre Baruch Kivod Hashem Mim komo begin de la it yada vela awa man de akil lekaima beya biat amart no da bisharim ba ala. The translation. He is concealed and exalted high above the reach of all the lower and supernal beings. He is so far above that they all proclaim, "Blessed be the glory of Hashem," from his place. The people on earth say that the Shekhinah is high above, as it is written. His glory is above the heavens. But the supernal beings say that the Shekhinah is down below, as it is written. His glory is over all the earth. So that all the supernal and human beings declare, "Blessed be the glory of Hashem," from his place, because he is unknowable, and no one is able to grasp him. Thus, how does one explain the verse, "Her husband is known in the gates"? My commentary: does Hashem have a place? One of the names of Hashem is Makom, which translates as place. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Malka, I don't think he has a place unless he says, "I will meet you in this place." So whenever his spiritual is enclosed in a vessel and he states, "I will meet you at this place," as he told with Moshe, as he spoke to Moshe about Aaron, about the Holy of Holies. So does he have a place? No. Does he make a place for himself to come down and meet with this creation? Yes.
Well said, but I have a question. What was the purpose of the Mishkan? What is the purpose of the temple?
So that he could dwell in us.
Right. Dwell with us, in us, yes.
So what is the meaning of dwelling in us? Where do you make the place for him, for Hashem to dwell in you?
In your heart.
Correct. Now, does that help with this verse?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, you know him by his names. His names tell, explain his essence. he's unknowable in that no one can know everything about him. But we have enough experiences that he makes himself known to us.
When he dwells with us, or in a place for us, we are glorifying his name in all the creation and in all on his throne. So, but there is a set of structure that, as in wisdom, you have to know how to get to wisdom and understand it. So, that's kind of the structure he set up and appointing these places for his creation to meet with him, because it is a glorified Kadosh place, which you can't elevate to throughout the structure of his creation.
We have to build a place for Hashem in our heart. We have to make the world a place where Hashem is willing to dwell. That's our spiritual work. Her husband is a code word for Zeran Pin, for Kadosh Baruch Hu. In order for him to be known in the gates, we have to have created a place surrounded by walls and gates, which is our hearts. Or is it the cities, the technology that we build as human beings?
I think it could be either or both, because...
Correct. It can be either or, because there's always different meanings.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start talking, we're all falling into the pattern of, oh, this is the picture I saw, as Chana will say, or this is my understanding. But we're not looking for alternative understandings. We want to settle for a clear, this is the meaning. But that's not the purpose of our spiritual growth. Because if I say this is the meaning, I'm excluding people who would understand it differently than me. So I need to search different ways of understanding what I see, what the words project into my consciousness. And that's why you will often, you'll make a statement and I seem to disagree with you. I don't really disagree with you. I'm just asking you to look at it differently than you did.
Well, to me, it was could have been seen from many different frames of reference. That's why I mentioned Deborah. That's why I mentioned Mordecai. That's why, you know, so you dissect these things. It doesn't mean that you're expecting anyone to believe or, you know, you're just throwing these ideas out, mainly because sometimes we're not sure what questions you're asking of us. It looks like to me that this verse, it's more my feelings of what the other verse was. And, of course, I try not to read ahead, and I hadn't read ahead because I find that I think it's better when you take it one step at a time. But,
correct.
It's like kind of...
Did you want to say something, Malcolm?
I think it's what each individual heart is revealing. It's composing a movie, as we call it, our life's movies. And all the teaching, as Hannah was saying, and all the teaching that you teach and that we study and we converse with others, we develop this, we begin to make this movie about the spiritual world, but that's what each individual heart is feeling to them at that time. And when another teaching comes in, this reveals more, and it just kind of adds to this composing of this grand pictures that we see in each in our individual personalities or consciousness of where we are in our elevation and trying to understand the structure of how to get to wisdom, how to get to understanding, how to get to, all the revealing parts of it. And yes, we will never know in our lifetime, absolutely not. And until we get to that place that God's here, here's the place to reveal all this to you, you know, at that point. But each individual has their own consciousness on of all teachings that we're absorbing in our being.
Then we haven't even taken the standpoint of Hashem being on the other end of the sign, wanting to reveal himself to us. you know, the example you give us of the cow and the calf. The calf wants to eat. Mother wants to feed the calf. She wants him or the calf to feed. If not more, then the calf wants to be fed. And so there's that other whole set of reference. Yes, he's concealed, but he's constantly, I mean, he takes the first step in drawing you, whether it's by something someone said or something that happened with you as a child, and that nobody else even knows about, that only God would know, with maybe a conversation you had with him or whatever. So, you know, he makes himself real to you. And how much you keep on in searching to get closer to him through every avenue possible within the time limits of a day, a 24-hour day, too.
Very true.
Including, you know, so I'm not quite sure what you're asking. And I guess because I'm on Hanzinu right now and I can't, you know, I see those two pictures of the Torah portion and the idea that both Moses and Rabbi Shimon opened the gates. That was the whole, to me, the big message of Lag B'Omer. And so it's like, okay, now the word gates is around me all the time since last the Omanoi. So, and I'm not quite to the point where I can voice it. The same thing with the bird nest. Bird nest right at first, from one frame of reference, it was the Mashiach. Okay, another frame of reference, it was the Shekinah, you know. So you balance these things until you have time, or until Hashem puts the next little bit of text from, you know, the Zohar. And now when I looked up with just one verse, I'm reading the whole book of Pinchas. So, you know, there's so much going on in your head with all this. So sometimes it's just hard to know how to answer and what to answer.
Well, you always have to remember there's no one right answer. So whichever way you answer is going to be correct.
Right.
But sometimes I think your answers to us give me the feeling that I either haven't said it correctly or I don't know. So it kind of makes me want to hold back and not be always the one who's talking either, you know.
Well, today you were not the only one who was talking.
And, you know, and I want to say this to Hannah. You know, every time you give an answer, it just brings me to a understanding. It makes me understand what Hanok is teaching better, because you bring out some great points, you know, in all these classes, and it just brings me to, if you want to say, a different level of thinking or more deep thinking than I would without your remarks or your answers. So keep it up. I mean, seriously, it draws a lot of things out of each one. I know
it's helpful. It's helpful to all. And I'm sorry that you feel that sometimes that I will be saying that you're incorrect, but I'm really just trying to give you a different perspective. But today
there's a statement that I have that feeling. I'll point it out to you so you know. You know, I wouldn't have stuck with you all this time if I didn't think that you weren't the one person that I, you know, that I wanted to study with. And I'm not criticizing you either.
No, I don't feel criticized. at all. I just it's all part of the teacher-student relationship. So it's good to be open for both of us. But we are out of time. So our next class, the later classes, will be the writings of not the Ari tonight. It's going to be some of the other sages. And hello?
Yes, sir.
Were you asking a question or was it just static?
Static.
Okay. So tonight's the, instead of the Ari, we're going to read some of the other sages. And then tomorrow we have the book of Joshua in our 11 o'clock class, and then a deep Zohar at 4:30, and Tikkuni Zohar at 7. So a busy day, and I'm reminding you that Rosh Chodesh is Saturday night, not Tisha B'Av. Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.